The message tonight,
budskapet I kväll,
is calculated to teach,
vill antas och lära om,
what actually happened in the Garden of Eden,
det som egentligen hände I Edens hage,
as the original sin,
det den originala synd,
and at the same time,
på samtidig med,
to show what is the missing link. Science is very clever.
Vetenskapen nok dyktig.
And it can tell that there is a connection between man and animal.
Og den kan si oss at det en viss forbindelse mellom dyr og menneske.
But they never been able to find out what that link is.
Men de har aldri vært I stand til å finne hvilken link eller bindeledd dette
Now, actually, there could only be one link between man and animal.
Det kunne bare være et eneste bindeledd mellom dyr og menneske.
And it would have to be the serpent.
Og det måtte være en serpent eller slange.
Because he was upright.
For han var opprett gående.
And he could reason and think and talk.
Og han kunne resonere, tenke og snakke.
So it would be our duty tonight.
Så det må være vår plikt I kveld.
To show you from Scripture.
Å vise dere utifra Skriften.
That the serpent is indeed the missing link.
At serpent eller slangen missing link.
And what the original sin was.
Hva den originale første synd var.
To begin with, we will read in Genesis 3, 14 to 15.
For det første vil vi lese fra skapelseshistorien, 3 kapittel, 14 til 15.
And then we will go to Matthew 13.
Da skal vi gå til Matteus 13.
And read verses 24 to 30.
Og lese versene 24 til 30.
And verses 36 to 43.
All verses 36 till 43.
Before we read, shall we bow our heads in prayer?
Før vi leser, skal vi bøye våre hoder I bønn.
Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you tonight.
Kjære Jesus, vi kommer til deg I kveld.
Asking you for mercy at this time.
Og vi ber deg om nåde denne gangen også.
We pray you'll teach us your word.
Vi ber om at du vil lære oss ditt ord.
Help us that we might not make any mistakes.
Hjelp oss så vi ikke gjør noen feil.
Guide our thoughts perfectly.
Led våre tanker fullkomment.
And may we know what your word declares unto us.
Og må vi forstå hva ditt ord lærer oss.
This is all we ask at this time.
Dette alt vi ber om på I dette øyeblikk.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I Jesu Kristi navn, amen.
I just asked my brother to read the scripture that I have set forth.
Jeg vil bare lese min bror, be min bror om å lese dette skriftordet som jeg har sagt. That is Genesis 3, 14, 15.
Right.
14. vers. Da sa Gud Herren til slangen, Etter det du gjorde dette, da være du forbannet blant alle kveget og blant alle markens dyr. På din buk skal du krype, og støv skal du ete alle ditt livsdager. Og jeg vil sette fiendskap mellom deg og kvinnen, og mellom din sæd og hennes sæd. Den skal knuse ditt hode, men du skal knuse dens hæl.
Matthew 13, 24 to 25.
Matteus 13. kapittel 24. vers til 30. En annen lignelse fremsatte han for dem og sa, Himlenes rike å likne med en mann som hadde sådd god sæd I sin ake. Men medens folkene sov, kom hans fiende og sådde ugress blant hveten og gikk så bort. Men da strået kjøtt opp og satte av, da kom også ugresset til syne. Da gikk husbondens tjenere til ham og sa, Herre, sådde du ikke god sæd I din ake? Hvorfra kommer da ugress I den? Han sa til dem, det har en fiende gjort. Da sa tjeneren til ham, vil du da at vi skal gå og sanke det sammen? Men han sa, nei, for at det ikke også skal rykke opp veten når de sanker ugresset sammen. La dem begge vokse sammen inntil høsten, og når høsttiden kommer, vil jeg si til høstfolkene, sank først ugresset sammen og bind det i bunter for å brenne det opp, men samle veten i min lade. 36-43. Fra 36 til vers. Deretter lot han folket fare og gikk inn i huset, og hans disipler gikk til ham og sa, tyd oss lignelsen om ugresset og akeren. Han svarte og sa, den som sår den gode sæd er menneskesønnen. Akeren er verden. Den gode sæd, det er rikets barn, men ugresset er den ondes barn. Fienden som sådde det er djevelen. Høsten er verdens ende. Høstfolkene er englene. Like som da ugresset sankes og oppbrennes med ild, således skal det gå til ved verdens ende. Menneskesønnen skal utsende sine engler, og de skal sanke ut av hans rike alt det som volder anstøt og dem som gjør urett. Og de skal kaste dem i ildovnen. Der skal være gråt og tendes nitter. Det er 43. Da skal de rettferdige skinne som solen i sin faders rike. Den som har øren, han hører.
In both of these passages of Genesis and Matthew,
begge disse to opplesninger, både i skapelseshistorien og Matteus evangelium,
we have an historical account of seed sowing.
Der har vi en historisk en historie om dette å så sæd.
And I'm sure you noticed in Genesis 3:15 there were two seeds mentioned.
Og jeg er sikker på at dere la merke til i skapelseshistorien at det var tale om to slags sæd.
There was the serpent seed and the woman's seed.
Der var serpents sæd og kvinnens sæd.
Then in Matthew 13:25 we notice two more seeds.
Og i Matteus 13:25. Ja, i Matteus vi om to andre sorter sæd.
The seed of man and the seed of an enemy.
Sæden av et menneske og sæden av en fiende.
But you'll further notice in Genesis 3:16.
Men vi vil legge merke til videre i skapelseshistorien, 3. kapittel og 16. vers.
There is a third seed mentioned.
Der er det nevnt en tredje seed.
Just read it.
Og til kvinnen sa han, jeg vil mangfoldiggjøre din møye og ditt svangerskap. Med smerte skal du føde barn, og din mann skal til din mann skal din atro være, og han skal herske over deg.
Here it is said that Eve will bear the seed of Adam.
Her står det nevnt at Eva vil bære Adams sæd.
So the third seed is the Adamic seed.
Så den tredje sæd er den endemiske.
The Adamic.
Adams sæd, ja.
Now let us notice in verse 20.
Låt oss så se i det 20. vers.
That Adam called his wife's name Eve.
Adam kalte sin hustrus navn Eva, fordi hun er alle levendes moder.
And she was called the mother of all living.
Hun ble kalt alle levendes mor.
Now the word Eve means life producer.
Eva betyr livsproducer.
Which means the woman produces all three.
Som betyr at kvinnen produserer alle tre.
There are three lives to be produced.
Der er tre liv som må produseres.
The serpent life.
Den serpent liv.
Called serpent seed.
Som blir kalt slangens sæd.
A special seed called the seed of the woman.
En speciell sæd som blir kalt kvinnens sæd.
And then there is Adam's seed.
Og så kommer Adams sæd.
And you'll notice that she is the mother of all living.
Og dere legger merke til at hun alle livets mor.
So we can see how all three seeds get here.
Så vi kan se at alle tre sedene her.
They have to get here through womanhood.
De må komme inn her gjennom kvinneligheten.
Now we can eliminate the seed of a woman.
Vi kan sette kvinnens sæd til side.
By having it explained to us in the book of Luke.
Ved å få det forklart i Lukas' bok.
In chapter 1, verses 26 to 35. Chapter 1.
The first chapter, first chapter.
26 to 35.
Then the first chapter. 26 till
35. We find out exactly how he was conceived and born.
Där ser vi hvordan han ble unnfanget og født. Men i den sjette måned ble engelen Gabriel sendt av Gud til en by i Galilea som heter Nazaret. Til en jomfru som var trolovet med en mann ved navn Josef av Davids hus, og jomfruens navn var Maria. Og engelen kom inn til henne og sa, «Vær hilset, du benådede. Herren med deg, velsignet du blant kvinner.» Men hun ble forferdet over hans ord, og grunnet på hva dette skulle være for en hilsen. Og engelen sa til henne, «Frykt ikke, Maria, til du har funnet nåde hos Gud. Og se, du skal bli fruktsommelig og føde en sønn, og du skal kalle hans navn Jesus. Han skal være stor og kalles den høyeste sønn, og Gud Herren skal give ham hans fader Davids trone. Og han skal være konge over Jakobs hus evinnelig, og det skal ikke være ende på hans kongedømme. Men Maria sa til engelen, hvorledes skal dette gå til da jeg ikke vet av mann? Og engelen svarte og sa til henne, den hellige ånd skal komme over deg, og den høyestes kraft skal overskygge deg. Derfor skal også det hellige som fødes kalles Guds sønn. Og se, ja, det var 35.
The angel said that Mary had found favor with God.
Engelen sa at Maria hadde fått nåde hos Gud.
Now you will notice that she found favor with God.
Dere legger merke til at hvis hun fikk nåde hos Gud.
What happens when a woman finds favor with a man?
Hva det som hender når en kvinne finner nåde hos en mann?
With a man.
Ja, hos en mann.
You can understand that this in the natural would mean a marriage.
Dere kan forstå at dette vil i det naturlige liv bety det samme som et giftermål.
This woman finding favor with the gentleman.
Denne kvinnen finner behag hos en herremann.
Would cause him to wish to marry her.
Det ville resultere i at han ønsket å gifte seg med henne.
Now watch the next verse.
Se så det neste verset.
And he says to her, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus.
Og han sier til henne, du skal bli fruktsommelig og bringe en sønn og kalle hans navn Jesus.
And he tells her what this son shall be like.
Og han forteller oss hvordan denne sønnen skal bli.
Now, Mary understands
Maria forstår
that finding favor with a man, as she found with Joseph,
at like som hun har funnet behag hos en mann, like som hennes forlovede hos Josef,
would mean marriage to him.
Det betyr ekteskap med ham.
And bring forth a son.
Og
Now she knows that God does not marry women.
Hun vet at Gud gifter seg ikke.
So she's kind of puzzled about this.
Så hun litt forvirret over dette.
And knowing that it takes male intervention to bring forth a son.
Og hun vet jo det at det må en mann til for at det skal kunne bli et barn ut av det.
She knows it will not be that kind of an act with God.
Hun vet at det ikke kan komme i stand en slik forbindelse med Gud.
So she said, how will I have this son if I don't know a man?
Och hon spör, hvordan kan dette gå till när jag inte vet om man?
And the angel tells her,
och ängeln säger till henne,
that the Holy Ghost will come upon her.
Att den helige ånd ska komma över henne.
And the power of the highest shall overshadow her.
Och den högsta kraft skall överskygga dig, henne.
And she will bring forth this son.
Och hon skall bli svanger med denne son.
Now we notice in verse 31,
vi ser I det 31 verset,
that the angel said she would conceive in her womb.
Att ängeln säger att hon ska bli fruktsommelig.
Then he tells her the Holy Ghost shall come upon her.
Vidare förtäller han att den helige ånd ska komma över henne.
This describes exactly how Jesus Christ is conceived and born.
Dette sier oss nøyaktig på hvilken måte Jesus Kristus blir unnfanget på født.
The whole act will take place exactly in the womb and no place else.
Den hele akten vil finne sted I hennes womb, det betyr livmor eller underliv, og ingen andre steder.
Now the ovaries are not in the womb.
No, eggstokkene ligger ikke I livmoren.
They must drop an ovum down which goes into the womb.
De må støtte ut et egg som så går inn I livmoren.
But the Bible does not say that is what happened here.
Men Bibelen sier ikke at det var det som hendte her.
It puts conception absolutely in the womb and nowhere else.
Det sier at unnfangelsen finner sted I selve livmoren og ingen andre sted.
So we know exactly how Jesus was conceived.
Derfor vet vi nøyaktig på hvorledes Jesus ble unnfanget.
The Holy Ghost overshadowed her.
Den hellige ånd kom over henne.
Now who and what is the Holy Ghost?
Hvem så den hellige ånd?
He is God the Creator.
Han Guds skaperen.
So he will create in her womb the ovum.
Så vil han skape I hennes livmor egget.
And he will create in her womb the sperm.
Og han vil skape I hennes livmor spermaen, befruktningscellen.
And those two uniting will bring forth this body.
Og når disse to kommer sammen, vil det resultere I skapningen av et legeme.
This man child,
dette mann.
Who is Jesus the Christ?
Som Jesus Christus.
Who will be the temple of God?
Som skal være Guds tempel.
Now I'm sure you understand that.
Ja, jeg sikker på dere forstår det.
You can see how true the words of the prophet are.
Dere kan se hvor sant ferdig profetens ord er.
When he told us,
no, da han fortalte oss,
that God created both the egg and the sperm,
at Gud skapte både egget og spermaen,
in the womb,
I limoren.
And you see by the language here,
og vi ser av språket her,
that he said in just a few words,
han sier det I ganske få ord,
exactly what the scripture is teaching.
Akkurat det som skriften lærer.
Now eliminating the seed of the woman,
I det vi nå legger kvinnens sæd til side,
which is Jesus,
som Jesus.
We now have two seeds on earth,
så har vi to sæder på jorden.
As they are set forth in Genesis and Matthew.
Disse de blir sett fram I skapelseshistorien om Matteus.
These seeds come to life.
Disse to sædene kommer til liv.
That is, they come into being.
At de blir, at de begynner å eksistere.
And populate the earth through womanhood.
Og befolker jorden gjennom kvinnerasen.
Because that is what the scripture says.
For det det kvinnen skriften sier.
He was the mother of all living.
Hun var mor til alle levende.
But notice the Jesus seed.
Men legg merke til Jesus seed.
Never got here on earth until 4,000 years after the promise of Genesis 3:15.
Jesus seed kom ikke her til stede på jorden før 14.
After Genesis 3:15.
Efter skapelseshistorien 3:15.
And there is no place where it says,
og der ikke sted hvor det står,
that this Jesus seed,
at denne Jesus seed,
or the woman seed,
eller kvinnen seed,
would propagate itself upon earth.
Vil formere seg her på jorden.
Jesus did not marry.
Jesus giftet seg ikke.
But he died.
Men han døde.
Then he rose again.
Da sto han opp igjen.
And he sent forth his spirit upon man.
Og han sendte sin ånd over menneskene.
And he will raise his own seed,
og han vil gjenopprette sin egen sæd,
which is spiritual by the Holy Ghost,
som åndelig ved den hellige ånd,
raising them from the dead,
reiser dem opp fra de døde,
in a resurrection,
i oppstandelsen,
placing them in the millennium.
Og han vil reise dem opp i tusenårsriket.
Thereby he will see his seed.
Derved vil han se sin sæd.
And he will prolong his days.
Og han vil forlenge dagene.
He will do it by himself.
Han vil gjøre det selv.
Even though his body came by a woman.
Endog hans legeme kom gjennom en kvinne.
But the other two seeds,
med de to andre sædene,
the Adamic, which is the man's seed,
den fra Adam, som
and which is the Adam seed.
Yes, some Adam said.
And the tares with the weeds.
Oh yeah, or you, yes, it said.
Which is the enemy seed.
Some at the end and said.
Start out at the same time.
Maybe in the same period.
Now do not forget that both are seeds.
Glem nu ikke at begge to er sæd.
Because a sower sowed seed.
Fordi det var en sår som sådde sæd.
As it says in Matthew 13 and 24.
Som det står i Matthäus
13:25. A man sowed.
En man sådde.
And in Matthew 13:28.
Og i Matthäus 13:28.
An enemy sowed.
En fiende sådde.
We want to emphasize this.
Dette skal vi legge merke til.
Two sowings on earth.
Det var to seder som foregikk på jorden.
To populate the earth at the same time.
For å fylle opp jorden samtidig.
And of course, after they're gone.
Og etter at de borte.
They will come back to true Jesus seed.
Der vil den sanne Jesus seed komme.
To populate the earth in a resurrection.
For å oppfylle jorden i etter oppstandelsen.
Now in these two sowings.
Now that these two
that took place on earth at the same time,
some fans said for some seed for jorden.
In one place a man sowed,
for the ene seed var den man som sådde.
In the other place an enemy sowed,
for den andre seed var den fiende som sådde.
And it does not say that he was a man.
Og det står ikke at han var en man.
It called him an enemy.
Han kalles en fiende.
But it does not say he is a man.
Men det står ikke at han er en mann.
Now we know who the man is because his name is Adam.
Vi vet hvem den mannen var, for det var Adam.
And we can see who the enemy is.
Og vi kan se hvem denne fienden er.
Because it tells us who the original enemy is.
For det sies oss hvem denne originale fienden er.
In Genesis 3:15.
I 15. vers i 3. kapittel av 1. Mosebok.
And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman.
Og jeg vil sette fiendskap mellom deg og kvinnen. Og mellom din sæd og hennes sæd. Den skal knuse ditt hode, men du skal knuse dens hæl.
Now it places the serpent as the enemy of the woman.
Nå setter vi opp serpent, eller slangen, som kvinnens fiende.
So he will be the enemy of mankind.
Så derfor vil han være menneskenes fiende.
Also we want you to notice,
vil også at dere skal legge merke til,
that verse 15 is an extension of verses 13 and 15.
At vers nummer 15 er en videreføring av det som står i 13 og 14.
So we will read verses 13 and 14.
Så skal vi lese 13 og 14. Da sa Gud Herren til kvinnen, hva er det du har gjort? Og kvinnen sa, slangen forførte meg, og jeg åt. Og da sa Gud Herren til slangen, fordi du gjorde dette, da være du forbannet blant alt kveget og blant alle markens dyr, for din buk skal du bryte, og støv skal du ete alle ditt livs dager.
It says, the woman says, the serpent beguiled me.
Kvinnen svarte, det var slangen som forførte meg.
This word in the Hebrew means to seduce.
Dette ord på hebraisk betyr egentlig å misbruke.
So she was beguiled or seduced.
Hun var
beguiled or seduced.
Yeah, hun ble underkastet eller forført.
The worst enemy in the world,
den verste fiende i verden,
is a seducer.
Det är en som kan förföra.
Because he comes as a friend.
För det han kommer som en vän.
He pretends love and wishes for your welfare.
Han ger uttryck för kärlighet och din välfärd.
But he wants to destroy you.
Men egentligen önskar han att ödelägga dig.
Now Eve thought this enemy was her friend.
Eva tänkte att den fienden var hennes vän.
But she finds out that she has been fooled.
Men hon finner ut att hon har blivit lurad.
And you will notice that God tells her that this is her enemy.
Och de vill lägga märke till att Gud säger att detta är hennes fiende.
In the beginning, the woman did not know who her enemy was.
I begynnelsen visste icke kvinnan vem som var hennes fiende.
And the woman is a type of the church.
Och kvinnan är en liknelse på kyrkan.
And in this end time, she doesn't know her enemy either.
Och i den enda tiden känner den icke sin fiende heller.
But this serpent is her enemy.
Men denna slangen är hennes fiende.
And we find that God cursed him.
Och vi finner att Gud förbannat honom.
So therefore the seed is also cursed.
Därför är säden också förbannat.
We'll go to Matthew 13 and 42.
Vi ska gå över till Matteus.
And we'll see how this same tear, the tares are cursed.
Matteus 13 kapitel.
13 and 42.
Ja, i Matteus 13 kapitel och 42 verset. Och de ska kasta den i eldugnen. Det ska vara gråt och tänder snitten.
Now what is cast into the furnace?
Vad är det som blir kastat i eldugnen?
The tares.
Ugräset.
And who are the tares?
Vad är det som är ugräs?
The seed of the enemy.
Yes, the fiendens seed.
Now we go to Luke 19 and 27.
Då går vi över till Lukas. 19 kapitel. Men disse mine fiender, som ikke ville at jeg skulle være konge over dem, før dem hit og hugg dem ned for mine øyne.
Who are these enemies?
Hvem er disse fiender?
They are the ones who do not want God to rule over them.
Det er de som ikke ønsker at Gud skal regjere over dem.
Who did not want God to rule over him?
Hvem var det som ikke ønsker at Gud skulle regjere over seg?
Satan did.
Satan.
So these are lined up with Satan.
So disse står på linje med Satan.
And what happens to them?
Og hva er det som hender med dem?
They are destroyed.
De blir ødelagt.
Now we go back to Matthew 25 and 41.
Så går vi tilbake til Matteus 25. 25-41. Da skal han sige til dem på sin venstre side, gå bort fra meg, i forbandede, i den evige ild, som er beredt djevelen og hans engler.
You will notice that these are cursed.
Dere ser at disse blir forbannet.
And they are cast into the fire.
Og de blir kast i ilden.
There again we ask the question.
Der kan vi igjen stille spørsmålet.
Who was cursed?
Hvem var det som ble forbannet?
The serpent was cursed.
Slangen ble forbannet.
We now ask another question.
Så kan vi stille et annet spørsmål.
What person do we also know was cursed?
Hvilken annen person ble forbannet?
That person was Cain.
Den personen var Cain.
Could there be a relationship then between Cain and the serpent?
Kunde da være en relasjon mellom Cain og serpent?
There most certainly could, and we will see that there is.
Ja, sannelig kunde det, og vi skal se at det kunde det.
Now to get a New Testament revelation on this subject.
For å få et nytt testamentlig åpenbarelse på dette tema.
We go to 1 John.
Kan vi gå til Johannes?
Chapter 3.
Johannes Evangelium.
1 John. Not the gospel, 1
John. Oh no,
1 John.
For Johannes, but yeah.
Yeah, read the bank. Chapter 3, verses 6 to 15.
Johannes, first brev, yeah.
Yeah, the third chapter, verses 6 to 15. That's a little bit of reading there. Okay, start at 6 and read right through. Right,
yes, six. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Der den som blir i ham, synder ikke. Det er den som synder, har ikke sett ham og ikke kjent ham. Mine brødre, la ikke noen forføre dere. Den som gjør rettferdighet, er rettferdig, like som han er rettferdig. Den som gjør synd, er av djevelen. Til djevelen synder fra begynnelsen. Dertil er Guds sønn åpenbaret, at han skal gjøre ende på djevelens gjerninger. Hver den som er født av Gud, gjør ikke synd fordi hans sæd blir i ham, og han skal ikke synde fordi han er født av Gud. På dette kan Guds barn og djevelens barn kjennes. Hver den som ikke gjør rettferdighet, er ikke av Gud, heller ikke den som ikke elsker sin broder. Til dette er det budskap som vi hørte fra begynnelsen, at vi skal elske hverandre. Ikke som Kain, der var av den onde og slo sin bror i hjel. Og hvorfor slo han ham i hjel? Fordi hans gjerninger var onde, mens hans broder rettferdige. Undre dere ikke, brødre, om verden hater dere. Vi vet at vi er gått over fra døden til livet, fordi vi elsker brødrene, og den som ikke elsker blir i døden. Hver den som hater sin bror, er en manndraper, og vi vet at ingen manndraper har evig liv blivende i seg. For det kjenner vi kjærligheten, at han satte sitt liv til for oss. Også vi er skyldige til å sette livet til for brødrene. Men den som har verdens gods og ser sin broder, har et trang og lukker sitt hjerte for ham, og ledes kan kjærligheten til Gud bli i ham. Mine brødre, la oss ikke elske med ord eller tung.
You will notice beginning in verse 6.
Legg merke til vi begynner på vers 6.
That John is talking about two kinds of people.
At Johannes taler om to sorter mennesker.
In verse 6 he mentions those two kinds of people.
I det sjette kapitlet nevner han disse to sorter mennesker.
Those who sin and those who do not sin.
Disse som synder og disse som ikke synder.
Then in verse 10 we see him mentioned the two kinds again.
I det tiende verset ser vi at han nevner de to sortene igjen.
Those two kinds are the children of God and the children of the devil.
Disse to sortene er Guds barn og djevelens barn.
Now let us note that in both cases we have the same word.
La oss så legge merke til at i begge tilfellene har vi de samme ord.
Children.
Barn.
But two different groups.
Men to ulike grupper.
They are both children, but of two different groups.
De er begge barn, men tilhører to ulike grupper.
Now, children is the plural of child.
Barn er flertall av ett barn.
Which means produced one.
Det betyr frembrakt eller produsert.
Or from a seed.
Eller kommende fra en sæd.
These then are two seeds from two different sources.
Dette er derfor to sorter sæd fra to ulike kilder.
The sources of these two seeds are God and the devil.
Opphavet til de, eller kildene til de, disse to sædene er Gud og djevelen.
This is a rigid statement made by John.
Dette er ganske hårdt.
An inflexible statement.
Ubevegelig, urokkelig påstand som er framsatt av Johannes.
Now we know that neither God nor the devil,
vi vet at verken Gud eller djevelen,
is actually producing children
for barn
here on this earth,
på denne jord.
Because neither God nor the devil,
for verken Gud eller djevelen,
has mates,
har noen kvinne,
whereby they are able to bring forth their seed,
som de kan få barn gjennom.
These are human beings.
Dette er mennesker.
And they are identified either with God or the devil.
De er identifisert enten med Gud eller med djevelen.
And they're positively declared to be from two different seeds.
Og de er nøyaktig erklært til å komme fra to forskjellige steder.
And remember, they're coming through women.
Og husk, de kommer gjennom kvinner.
And women cannot have children by themselves.
Og vi finner han ikke selv på bar.
So we have a flat statement here.
Derfor dette et temmelig strakt ut påstand.
That children are born in the human race.
At barn blir født inn I det menneskelige rase.
And their origin is from God or the devil.
Og opphavet kommer enten fra Gud eller fra djevelen.
As God or the devil is working through the human race.
Idem enten Gud eller djevelen virker gjennom det menneskelige rase.
Now verse 9 helps to clear this up.
Vers nummer 9 hjelper oss til å forstå dette tydeligere.
It says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God.
Ja, den som født av Gud gjør ikke synd fordi hans sted blir I ham, og han kan ikke synde fordi han født av Gud.
Whosoever is of course a child,
den som da et barn,
so the child of God,
et Guds barn,
which is the seed of God,
som kommer fra Guds sted,
can't sin,
kan ikke synde.
He is weak,
han hører til veten.
But this is not the case of the other child,
men dette ikke tilfellet med det andre barn,
or the one produced from another kind of a seed,
eller den som kommer fra en annen sorts sted,
as it says in verse 10,
som det står I 10. Verset,
that he will sin,
at han vil komme til å synde.
Now in order to make this clear,
for å få dette gjort helt klart,
John goes right back to the beginning,
går Johannes helt tilbake til begynnelsen,
and he makes the example of the two seeds,
og han gjør et eksempel av de to sædene,
Cain and Abel,
Cain og Abel,
and he uses Cain as the seed of the devil,
og han bruker Cain som djevelens sæd,
because he's talking about the seed of the devil,
for han snakker om djevelens sæd,
and he uses Abel as the seed of God,
og han bruker Abel som tegn på Guds sæd,
because Abel is the righteous one,
for Abel den rettferdige,
and he is that other seed,
og han for den andre sæden.
So we read in verses 11 and 12,
således leser vi I verset nummer 11 og 12,
ja,
I dette det budskap som vi hørte fra begynnelsen, at vi skal elske hverandre, ikke som Kain, der var en av den onde, og slo sin bror I hjel. Og hvorfor slo han ham I hjel? Fordi hans gjerninger var onde, mens hans broders rettferdige.
You will see that first of all, Cain hated Abel.
First of all, ser dere at Cain hatet Abel.
Then he killed Abel.
Så drepte han ham.
And the scripture here says,
skriften her sier,
that Cain killed Abel because Cain's works were not righteous.
Cain drepte Abel fordi Cains gjerninger ikke var rettferdige.
They were evil.
De var onde.
It does not say that the killing was evil.
Det står ikke at selve mordet var ondt.
Although it was evil.
Skjønt det var det.
It says the work ahead of it was evil.
Men verket som lå foran var ondt.
Then the killing came.
Så kom drapet.
Now what was evil work?
Det var så det onde verk.
It was worshiping God in a wrong manner.
Det var å tilbe Gud på en gal måte.
Now the question comes, why did Cain kill Abel?
Så kan spørsmålet settes frem, hvorfor drepte Cain Abel?
Because of the enmity that was there.
Fordi fiendskap var mellom dem.
Now, the word enmity in Genesis 3:15,
fiendskap I skapelseshistorien,
you don't have to look it up. It comes from the word hate.
Det kommer fra ordet hat.
But it has a very special meaning to it.
Men det har en spesiell betydning.
It means to hate as of one opposite tribe or people to another.
Det betyr å hate like som en stamme hater en annen stamme.
Now just stop and think.
Stop et øyeblikk og tenk.
If Cain and Abel are both the sons of Adam,
hvis Cain og Abel begge sønner av Adam,
then they are not opposite people.
Det da de ikke motsatte slags folk.
They are not opposite tribes.
De ikke av ulike raser.
It would take two fathers,
de må to fedre til,
absolutely different from each other,
absolut ulike fra hverandre,
not related at all by blood,
ikke I blodig relasjon,
To have separate tribes.
For å ha ulike raser eller etterkommere.
Then Abel was the head of one tribe.
Abel var den første av den ene stammen.
And Cain belonged to the other tribe.
Og Cain hørte til den andre stammen.
So how could Adam be the father of Cain?
Hvordan kunne så Adam være far til Cain?
He could not.
Han kunne ikke det.
Now in 1 John 3:15, it says that Cain hated Abel.
Det står at Cain hatet Abel.
The word hate here,
hat her,
means to detest.
Betyr og sette på prøve.
And especially to persecute.
Og især å forfølge.
To persecute is to have harmful intent.
Forfølge, det å ha bitre intensjoner.
Due to a difference of belief.
Som følger av ulike slags tro.
So here is this one hating the other.
Så her ser vi at den ene hater den andre.
Because they are of two different kinds.
Fordi de to ulike sorter.
Doing different things toward God.
De gjør ulike ting imot Gud.
And the one hating the other.
Den ene hater den andre.
Because he was of God.
Fordi han var av Gud.
Then who was Cain of?
Så var, hvem var så Cain av?
He was of somebody other than Adam.
Han måtte komme fra en annen enn Adam.
So you can begin to see right here.
Så der kan dere begynne å se rett nå.
That Eve had to bring forth two sons.
At Eva måtte bringe fram to sønner.
From two different sources.
Fra to forskjellige kilder.
From two different seeds.
Fra to forskjellige steder.
That made two different groups.
Som gjorde to forskjellige stammer.
Now you know as well as I do.
Dere vet like så godt som jeg.
That the Bible deals only.
At det Bibelen behandler bare.
With two different groups.
To forskjellige grupper.
One is the Adamic group through his sons.
Den ene stammen den som kommer fra Adam gjennom hans.
And the other is the Cain group.
Or den andre er Cain's stamme.
Two different tribes.
Two forskjellige stammer.
And even in history.
Or endog i historien.
As proven by Mallet and Wilkinson.
Som det er bevist av Mallet og Wilkinson.
There were two kinds of people on earth.
Er det to slags mennesker på jorden.
One was called the sons of God.
Noen ble kalt Guds sønner.
Which were also called the sons of light.
De ble også kalt lysets barn.
And the others were called the sons of darkness.
De andre ble kalt sønner av mørket.
And they were absolutely different from each other.
Og de var fullstendig ulike fra hverandre.
The sons of light were sweet and kind and gentle.
Lysets barn, lysets sønner var søte og snille og vennlige.
And never went to war.
Og andre gikk til krig.
But the others were hateful and mean.
De andre var hatefulle og onde.
And went to war.
Og gikk til krig.
And felt the ought to exterminate the sons of light.
Og de følte trang til å ødelegge lysets sønner.
The two seeds.
De to sædene.
The two groups.
De to gruppene.
From two sources.
Fra to forskjellige kilder.
Have always been in existence.
Har alltid eksistert.
From after the Garden of Eden.
Efter Edens hage.
Now by no stretch of the imagination
uten å strekke fantasien for meget
could Adam be the father of Cain?
Kunde Adam være Cains far?
Because it says in verse 12 of chapter 3
fordi det står i det 12. kapittel og
that Cain was of that wicked one.
At Cain kom av den onde.
Now let us see if Adam could be the wicked one.
La oss se om Adam kunne være den onde.
We go to Genesis 5, verses 1 and 3.
Vi kan gå til 1. Mosebok, Skapelseshistorien, 5. kapittel.
It says, this is the book of the generation of Adam, and the day that God created man in the likeness of God made he him.
Dette er boken om Adams slekt, for den dag Gud skapte mennesket, gjorde han det i Guds bilde.
Read verse 3.
Og 3. verset. Og Adam levde 130 år, og han avlede en sønn i sin liknelse etter sitt bilde, og han kalte ham hans navn Seth.
It says that God made Adam in his own likeness.
Det står at Gud gjorde Adam i sin egen skikkelse.
Then Adam had a son called Seth.
Och så hade Adam en son som blev kallad Seth.
And he was in the image of Adam.
Och han var i Adams liknelse.
But if Adam was in the image of God,
men hvis Adam var i Guds liknelse,
and his son was in his image,
og sønnen var i hans bilde,
then Seth was in the image of God.
Så kan vi slutte at Seth var i Guds bilde.
And so would every other son.
Og så måtte hver eneste senere sønn,
because the law is laid down,
fordi loven lagt ned,
everything after its kind,
alt etter sitt slags,
because the life is in the seed,
for livet i seden.
Now if the life is in the seed,
no, hvis livet i seden,
and Cain is of that wicked one,
og Cain tilhører den ondes,
then you're making God,
da gjør dere Gud,
and his seed wicked,
og hans sed ond.
Impossible.
Det umulig.
The seed of a dog,
seden av en hund,
will not produce a cat,
kan ikke gjøre en katt.
Neither will the seed of God,
eller ikke kan Guds sed,
produce a cane,
produce en kain.
Neither will serpent seed,
heller ikke kan slangens sed,
produce a set,
produsere en set.
It is impossible.
Det umulig.
Because seed will produce seed.
For seed will produce seed.
The enemy produces enemy seed.
Fienden seed producerer fiendes.
And the enemy is a serpent.
Og fienden slangen eller serpent.
And the serpent will produce serpent seed.
Og slangen vil producere slangen seed.
So enemy seed is serpent seed.
Så fienden seed serpent slangen seed.
And God talked to that serpent.
Og Gud talte til denne slangen.
And the serpent could talk to God.
Og slangen kunne tale til Gud.
And we know what God said to him.
Og vi vet hva Gud sa til ham.
Also notice,
legg også merke til,
in Genesis 3 and 20, you don't need to read it. In Genesis 3 and 20,
ja, if I kapitel 20 and vers,
Eve is called the mother of all living.
Eva blir kalt alle levendes mor.
But it does not say,
men det sies ikke,
that Adam is the father of all living.
At Adam alle levendes far.
Seed is produced through the woman.
Seden blir produsert gjennom kvinnen.
But she is producing different kinds of persons.
Men hun frembringer ulike slags personer.
And bringing into existence.
Og får dem til eksistens.
Both the blessed and the cursed.
Både den velsignede og den forbannede.
Both the serpent seed and the seed of God.
Både seden av slangen og seden fra Gud.
Both the seed of Adam.
Både Adams seed.
And the seed of the serpent.
Og den serpent seed.
Both the righteous.
Både den rettferdige.
And the wicked.
Og de onde.
Also notice now in Genesis 4:25-26.
Legg også merke til i skapelseshistorien 4. kapittel. Chapter 4.
Ja. Yeah. 25, 26.
Ja, ifra 25.
Ja.
25 til vers. Og Adam kjente atter sin hustru, og hun fødte en sønn og kalte hans navn Seth. Ti, sa hun, Gud har satt meg en annen sted i Abels sted, fordi Kain slo Abel i hjel.
Adam had a son by Eve.
Adam hadde en sønn med Eva.
And he called his name Seth.
Og Eva kalte hans navn Seth.
She had a reason for calling him Seth.
Hun hadde en grunn for å kalle ham det.
Seth means,
Seth betyr,
God appointed another seed.
Gud utvalgte en annen sted.
And she said God appointed another seed in the place of Abel.
Gud satte en annen sted i stedet for Abel.
Now the idea of seed here in the Hebrew,
meningen med sted her i hebreerne,
is a sowing or dissemination.
Her in sowing, eller in
a dissemination,
utstrøing.
Now, who sows or disseminates in the human race?
Hvem det som sår eller strør ut i det menneskelige raset?
The male does.
Det den mannlige.
This boy, this child, Seth, was a boy.
Dette barnet, Seth, var en mann, en gutt.
So, therefore, he contained seed.
Derfor inneholder han seed.
And he would disseminate that seed.
Og han vil sprede den.
Now, the word another is more rightly called other. The word another seed is more rightly called other seed.
den, det vil han slå oss etter. Ordet sin annen kan heller oversettes som annen.
So this man was to be a disseminator of other seed.
Så måtte denne mannen bli en spreder av annen seed.
Which would take the place of Abel.
Som ville ta Abels plass.
See, Abel was a disseminator of seed because he was a male child.
Abel kunde spre seed fordi han var et mannsbarn.
Now this one was to take the place of that one.
Denne skulle ta den andres sted.
But what seed was there that was to be different from?
Men hva slags sted var det så som det skulle være annerledes enn?
Or other than another?
Annen enn den andre.
Cain's, of course.
Cain's, selvfølgelig.
Because if Cain had been the same as Seth,
so hvis Cain hadde vært den samme som Seth,
she would have had to say,
så ville hun måtte si,
God has given me another disseminator.
Gud har gitt meg en annen sædspreder.
And it would not be in the place of Abel.
Og det ville ikke ha vært I Abels sted.
See, because their Cain's seed would be the same then as Abel and of Seth.
Cain's sted ville da ha vært den samme som Abels og Seth.
But there is a difference.
Men det en forskjell.
So we know that the fathers had to be different.
Så derfor vet vi at fedrene også måtte være ulike.
Because the seed comes down from the father.
Fordi sæden kommer ned fra faderen.
Had Cain and Abel had one father,
hadde Cain og Abel hatt en og samme far,
the seed would have been identical.
Da ville sæden ha vært identisk.
Because the two boys,
fordi de to sønnene,
would have been nothing more than their parents.
Ville ikke ha vært noe annet enn deres foreldre.
Our children are nothing more than the mother and father.
Våre barn ikke noe annet enn moren og faren.
So would these two.
Så ville det være tilfelle her også.
That Eve brought forth Cain by the serpent.
Eva brakte frem Cain ved serpent slangen.
It's clearly seen in Genesis 3:13.
Det står I 3. Kapittel 13.
3:13. For she said, the serpent beguiled me.
Da sa du til kvinnen, hva har du gjort? Og kvinnen svarte, slangen forførte meg, og jeg gjorde.
An exact definition of the word beguile.
Det en definition på ordet å forføre.
It's to lead astray.
Det betyr å lede til side.
Mentally delude.
Mentalt lurt.
And morally seduced utterly.
Og moralsk forført nedover.
Now, when is a woman morally seduced utterly?
Hvorledes blir en kvinne forført og ført nedover?
It is not when a smart salesman comes by.
Det ikke når det kommer en smart sjømann.
And he gets her to sign over her father's property.
Og han får se farens eiendom.
And leaves her bankrupt.
Og lurer henne på pengene.
It is only when he makes love to her.
Det når han gjør kur til henne.
And not only make love to her.
Og ikke bare gjør kur til henne.
But she becomes pregnant by him.
Men hun blir svanger med ham.
And he runs off on her.
Og så springer han fra henne.
And she is left stranded.
Og der står hun alene tilbake.
Now you know that's exactly what those words mean.
Dere forstår at det nøyaktig hva disse ordene betyr.
That's exactly what happened to Eve.
Og det det som hendte med Eva.
He changed the word of God.
Han forandret Guds ord.
He pretended that he was her friend.
Han lot som om han var hennes venn.
And he destroyed her morals.
Og han ødela hennes moral.
And the destructions of a woman's morals.
Og nedbrytning av en kvinnes moral.
Has only one meaning.
Har bare en betydning.
She has been fooled by a man.
Hun har blitt lurt av en mann.
And the man has refused to marry her.
Og mannen har nektet å gifte seg med henne.
She is left in this terrible condition.
Og hun blir lagt igjen I denne tilstand.
Now we'll go to the New Testament and find the same thing.
Så skal vi gå til det nye testamentet og finne det samme.
It's in 1 Timothy the 2nd chapter. 1 Timothy 2.
Ja. 1 Timotheus.
And verse 14.
1 Timotheus. annet kapittel og 14. vers.
And Adam was not deceived.
Og Adam ble ikke dåret, men kvinnen ble dåret og falt i overtredelse.
It says that the woman was deceived.
Det står at det var kvinnen som ble lurt.
Which means?
Hva betyr det?
She roamed from safety. He roamed. She strayed from.
Hun rømte. Hun gikk ifra.
From safety.
Fra sikkerhet. Hun kom ut av sikkerheten.
Truth and virtue.
Sannhet og verdighet.
Now when a woman strays from virtue,
når en kvinne går bort fra verdigheten,
we know exactly what happened to her.
Da vet vi hva som har hendt med henne.
But I want you to notice the penalty of her straying.
Men jeg vil at dere skal legge merke til betalingen av denne avvikelse.
It says, notwithstanding, she'll be saved in childbearing.
Ganske sikkert vil, men hun skal blive frelst gjennom sin barnefødsel.
Now I want to try to show you something here.
Jeg ønsker å vise dere noe her.
If I cut my thumb,
hvis jeg skjærer min tommelfinger,
my toe does not bleed.
Så blør jeg ikke i stortåa.
In other words, there must be an effect.
Det må bli en eller annen effekt.
Commensurate or proper to the cause.
Som passer med grunnen.
If I eat a sour apple,
hvis jeg spiser sure epler,
I get a stomach ache.
Får jeg surt i magen.
Now listen to me.
Hør på meg.
It talks about the woman being deceived.
Det snakkes om en kvinne som blir forført.
Wherein she strayed from virtue.
Hvor hun kommer bort fra sin verdighet.
And then it talks about childbearing.
Og der tales det om barnefødsel.
Now remember.
Husk.
If I cut my thumb.
Hvis jeg skjærer meg i fingeren.
My toe does not bleed.
Blør jeg ikke i tåen.
Now what brings about childbearing?
Hva fører frem barnefødsel?
Only one thing.
Bare en ting.
So that's where she was deceived.
Det var der hun ble forført.
Because that's where the penalty is.
Og der er der betalingen kommer.
This is easy to be seen.
Det er litt for lett å se.
As going back to Genesis 3:16.
La oss gå tilbake til skapelseshistorien.
And we'll see the same thing.
3:16, ja. Ja. Til kvinnen sa han, jeg vil mannfoldiggjøre din møye og ditt svangerskap. Med smerte skal du føde barn, og din mann, til din mann skal din atro være, og han skal herske over deg.
Now it says the woman will bear children in sorrow.
Det står at kvinnen skal føde barn med smerte.
And women do have a hard time bearing children.
Og kvinnen har virkelig vanskelig smerte ved fødsel.
Sometimes carrying a child has terrible repercussions on a human body.
Somme tider har dette en veldig virkning på det menneskelige legemet.
Now why was this penalty?
Hvordan kunne dette være en betaling?
Your toe does not bleed if you cut your thumb.
Tåen blør jo ikke når du skjærer deg i tommelen.
The best you will get eating fruit is a stomach ache.
Det beste du kan få når du eter sur frukt er vondt i magen.
It is plain to be seen.
Jeg kan enkelt se det.
That since the penalty is a problem, so it's in this act that she strayed.
So det er på denne måten at hun gikk til side.
The question now arises.
Spørsmålet reiser seg nå.
Why then does the Bible call the original sin eating forbidden fruit?
Hvorfor kaller så Bibelen denne originale synden det å spise forbudt frukt?
Because it does in Genesis 2:16 and 17.
For det står i skapelseshistorien annet kapittel
16
og 17. Og Gud Herren bød mennesket og sa, du må fritt ete av alle trær i hagen, men av trær til kunnskap om godt og ondt, av det skal du ikke ete, si på den dag du eter av det, skal du visse deg død.
To understand this, we must go back and see what the word says about that tree.
För att förstå detta må vi gå tillbaka till ordet och se vad ordet säger om detta träd.
And that's found in Genesis 2, 8 and 9.
Och det finns i skapelsehistorien 2, 8 och 9. Och Gud, Herren, plantade en hage i Eden mot östen och satte där människor som han hade dannat. Och Gud, Herren, lot uppvuxa av jorden alla hundra träd, lystige att se till, och gode att äta av, och livsens trä mitt i haven, och trä till kunskap om gott och ont.
As you read verse 9,
i det där vi läser vers nummer 9,
you will notice that the tree of life,
lägger dere märke till att livsens trä,
and the other tree,
och de andra träd,
were in the midst of the garden,
stod mitt i haven.
But it does not say when they were placed there.
Men det står icke när de blev placerade där.
It doesn't say they were there when the other trees were there.
Det står icke att de var där där de andra träd var där.
It's just like the case with Adam.
Det är slik som det är med Adams tillfälle.
The Garden of Eden was there, then God put Adam in the garden.
Adams Edens hage var där, och så satte Gud Adam in där.
So be very careful to notice this.
Pass på att du lägger märke till detta.
There is no punctuation in the Hebrew.
Där är icke något punktum i hebreisk.
And there is not necessarily true chronology.
Och där är icke nödvändigtvis sann kronologi.
So when it says the trees were also there,
så när det står att träet var också där,
those trees could have been there much later than when the first trees were there.
Då kunde detta träd bli satt där länge efter att det första trädet.
Now watch very carefully.
Se pass nöje på.
Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that pleasant to the sight and good for food.
Ut av jorden lot Herren växa alla hundra träd lystiga att se till och goda att äta av.
It says that the trees that were good to look at and good to eat came out of the ground.
Vi ser att träet som var gode till att se på, de hade frukter som var gode och de kom ut av jorden.
You understand it?
Förstår du detta?
Now, if any tree will kill you if you eat it, it is not good for food.
Hvis det er noe tre som du dör utav, hvis du spiser utav det, då är det icke något gott tre med god frukt.
So this tree never came out of the ground.
Så detta träd kom aldrig ut av jorden.
Well, did it?
Gjorde det det?
Read it again.
Läs det igen.
Every tree good to eat came out of the ground.
Vart träd gott att äta av kom ut av jorden.
And any tree that will kill you is not good to eat.
Och det trä som vill dräpa dig är icke något gott trä att äta.
So it could not have come out of the ground.
Det kunde inte ha kommit upp av jorden.
And if you're thinking I'm wrong,
och hvis du tror jag är fel, okay,
I'll now kill your thoughts very dead.
Då ska jag,
I'll kill your thoughts very dead.
Jag ska dräpa din tanke en gång.
Because you don't know your Bible.
Och du känner inte Bibeln din dag.
I ask you a question.
Jag spör dig en ting.
When was the ground cursed?
Når ble jorden forbannet?
Huh? After the fall.
Etter fallet.
Then could there have been a cursed tree out of the ground before the fall?
Kunde det ha vært et forbannet tre som kom opp av jorden før fallet?
Yes.
Nei.
This tree never came out of the ground.
Dette treet kom ikke ut av jorden.
And the Bible does not say it came out of the ground.
Och Bibeln säger heller icke att det kom upp av jorden.
It said it was in the midst of all the trees that did come out of the ground.
Det står att det stod mitt ibland de andra träd som kom upp av jorden.
So these two trees were not rooted trees getting their nourishment out of the soil.
Så således var disse to trädene icke vanliga träd som fick sin näring ut av jorden.
Now, if Adam was not to touch a tree that did not come out of the ground,
hvis Adam ikke skulle røre ved tre som ikke kom ut av jorden,
was not that tree Eve?
Var så ikke dette treet Eva?
Because she did not come out of the ground.
For hun kom ikke opp av jorden.
Now I want to stop and say right here.
Jeg vil stoppe et øyeblikk her.
That just before Brother Branham left us,
like før Brother Branham forlot oss,
he stood before us,
to one foran oss,
and with vehemence or great force,
med stor kraft,
said, "You can believe what you want."
Sa han, dere kan tro hva dere vil.
But I believe that tree in the garden.
And jeg tror at det treet I Edens hage.
Was the woman?
Var kvinnen.
She did not come out of the ground.
Hun vokste ikke opp av jorden.
So could she have not been that tree?
Kunne hun ikke da ha vært treet?
Only Adam came out of the ground.
Bare Adam kom ut av jorden.
Now let us go to 1 Timothy 2.
La oss gå til 1 Timotheus 2.
Verse 13.
13th chapter.
But perhaps we better read verse 11 and 12 first.
11, 12 and 13 chapter. En kvinne skal lade seg leve I stillhet, men med all lydighet. Men jeg tillater ikke en kvinne at være leve, eller å være mannens herre. Men hun skal være I stillhet. Til Adam ble skapt først, deretter Eva. Og Adam ble ikke dåret, men kvinnen ble dåret og falt I overtredelse.
Now it tells you that Adam was first born, then Eve.
Det forteller at Adam ble først født.
Then it immediately says that Adam was not deceived.
Deretter står det at Adam ikke ble forført.
Now these two thoughts go together.
Disse to tankelinjer går sammen.
It's exactly what the prophet taught.
Det nøyaktig hva profeten lærte.
He said it was the way that Eve came on this earth that caused the fall.
Han sier at det var på den måten som Eva kom på denne jord som forårsaket fallet.
She was not in the original creation.
Hun var ikke I den første skapningen.
She did not come out of the ground.
Hun kom ikke opp ut fra jorden.
And this is the exact reason why she fell.
Og det dette som grunnen til at hun falt.
And this is why we have the problem today.
Og det derfor at vi har problemet I dag.
And we know therefore the original sin.
Og derfor vet vi at den originale synd
was the sin she committed with the serpent.
Var den synden som hun utførte sammen med
serpenten. Which was an immoral act.
Som var en umoralsk gjerning.
And then her husband committed it with her.
Og så gjorde mannen hennes det også med henne.
And it says that he was not deceived.
Og det står at han var ikke forført.
He did this act with his eyes open.
Han gjorde dette med åpne øyne.
Now continuing our thought about the tree, eating the tree is an act of coitus.
Så la oss tenke på dette og ete av to tre. Det
an act of coitus.
Det en aksjon, det en gjerning som kan kalles for seksuell samliv?
We show you in scripture.
Skal vise dere I skriften.
Where this act,
hvordan denne akten,
is absolutely described,
er nøyaktig beskrevet,
as eating fruit,
som det å spise frukt.
We go to the Songs of Solomon.
Vi ser på Salomos høysang.
And we go to the second chapter, verses 1-7.
Salomons høysang, det andre kapitlet, og det sjunde.
I'll read it first, and then we'll take one verse at a time.
Yeah.
Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 1-7, and I'm going to read one at a time, and then you follow me.
Yeah.
I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. That's first verse. Second chapter, Songs of Solomon. Is your Bible different from mine, by any chance?
Do I understand that?
The Songs of Solomon.
Salomon's Høysang, so there. Songs of Salomon.
Yeah. I am the Rose of Sharon.
Second chapter.
Yeah, I am the Rose of Sharon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just repeat the one.
First, yeah, yeah, Sarum's Blom's Darling's Lily.
Now, who is the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley?
Then the Sarum's Blom's Og Darling's Lily.
This is Jesus.
Then, that's a Jesus.
So, it's a picture of Jesus, the bridegroom, and his bride.
So that's the bild of Jesus, brudgummen och hans brud.
And remember in the book of Ephesians,
och husk I Ephesians book,
Christ and his bride,
Kristus och hans brud,
is typed out,
sammanliknet med,
by a man and a woman in marriage.
Med en man och en kvinna när de gifter sig.
And Paul calls it a great mystery.
Og Paulus kaller det et stort mysterium.
As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters.
Som en lilje iblant torner, således min kjærlighet blant søstre.
And you can see what we are, like thorns and pretty rough people. You can see that we are hard and thorny like people.
Og vi kan se at vi hårde og tornefulle som mennesker.
But he loves us just the same.
Men han elsker oss allikevel.
Now notice how the bride responds.
Legg merke til hvordan bruden svarer.
And the woman is saying this about her husband.
Og kvinnen sier det samme om sin husbond.
The bride is saying this about her groom.
Bruden sier det om sin brudgom.
As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons.
Som et epletre blant skogens tre, så min elskede blant sønnene.
Jesus among all the sons of God, the mighty angels and so on.
Jesus blant alle Guds sønner, de mektige engler og videre.
Stands out as the lover of the bride.
He står frem som brudens elsker.
And she calls him an apple tree.
Og kaller han et epletre.
And she calls the other sons trees of the forest.
Og de kaller de andre sønnene skogens tre.
And she said, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste.
Og han sier, i hans skygge lystede meg å sitte, og hans frukt søt.
Now she is going to describe what eating this fruit was.
Nå skal han til å beskrive hva denne spisingen av denne frukten betydde.
He brought me into his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love.
Han har ført meg inn til vinhuset, og hans banner over meg kjærlighet.
You keep this in mind, and you'll find that the banqueting house is the bridal chamber.
Hold dette fast i minnet. Og dere vil finne ut at dette vinhuset brudens rom.
She says, stain me with flagons and comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love.
Styrk meg med druekaker, kled meg med epler, til jeg syk av kjærlighet.
She is talking in symbolical language.
Hun taler symbolsk.
No woman lovesick for her husband.
Ingen som kjærlighetssyk etter sin mann.
Can drink a little wine and eat a little fruit and
a specialist fruit
and say that takes care of my man.
Also, det tar hånd om min mann.
Neither can any man
heller ikke kan noen mann
drink a little glass of wine,
ta et lite vinglass,
and eat an apple
eller spise et eple,
and say I am satisfied now.
Also, nå tilfreds.
I do not need to have my wife.
Jeg behøver ikke min kone.
See, he is not talking in terms of a pure physical language, but symbology.
Han taler ikke et enkelt fysisk språk, men taler i symboler.
Now she describes what the flagons and the apples are.
Så beskriver hun hva eplet og
apples are. With the flagons and the apples are. She describes what the flagons of wine and the apples are. The fifth verse.
Yeah.
See, she's going to describe it now. You don't have to read it. Just tell me. We've already read it. Now, she will now describe what flagons of wine and apples are.
Jaha. Hun beskriver hva druekaker og eple
She describes it in this way.
Hun beskriver det på denne måten.
His left hand is under my head.
Den hans venstre hånd under mitt hode.
And his right hand doth embrace me.
Og hans høyre favner meg.
Now, what is he doing?
Hva gjør han?
He is hugging her.
Han omfavner henne.
Bringing her head up to his lips.
Bringer hennes hode opp til sine lepper.
So that he may kiss her.
Så at han kan kysse henne.
This is the stimulation of wine.
Dette stimulasjonen.
That she is talking about.
Som hun snakker om.
And this is the satisfaction.
Og dette tilfredsstillelse.
Of the eating of apples.
Omkring det å spise epler.
Now remember, they are in the bridal chamber.
Husk at de i bryllupskammeret,
which is stated in the seventh verse,
som står om i det sjuende verset.
For she says, stir not up my love,
vekk ikke min kjærlighet,
nor awake him, nor wake him up,
eller heller vekk ikke opp min kjærlighet.
Shall he please?
føren han begjærer det.
Where do men and women sleep?
Hvor sover menn og kvinner?
In bed.
I seng.
Now here you see perfectly the act of love which is physical
den fysiske kjærlighet
and it's described
og det beskrives
Christ and the bride
Kristus og bruden
but Paul says
men Paulus sier
the male and the female husband and wife
kvinne og mann hustru og husbarn
are the physical.
På grunn av strømbrudd så er resten av talen av dårlig kvalitet.
Brother Dan Coley and some other friends of mine in a private interview with me that this act of desire is a perfect picture of what every person must go through to be born again. For herein is seen justification, sanctification, and the actual impartation of life. Which is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. I hope you understand. Let us also see in Genesis 20, chapter 2, verses 22 and 3. Exactly what is one said?
God has spoken it. We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we can go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. And we read verses 13 through 16.
Now, question. My name is, Martin Eric Augustin. Augustin, Paul Martin. And Greek by the other end of the world and dead here. And then we estimate as it begins a taboo, meant for heaven, or heaven for wisdom, or Greek for the stuff, for stuff, heaven, or sight of glory, pleasure, or creation, trust. And what's your question?
And this is for me, that's not a question.
Yeah, Greek is the idea of creation, the rest is the language. Salmon the author, please see Lenin, or you are again, please see Lenin, Lenin, now, there is all. Reality is the attention for the faith is rooted at its root in it here, hence, we be as God, if we shall let it still. Then, attention for the faith is heaven, at least on the
heart. I want to be as delicate as I can. But we will have to use some expressions,
then we will be pretty specific,
that you might not think are too nice in public.
From the countries get through and I will ask for two more opportunities.
But I must ask you this question.
I am not sure of this question.
Why does a man go into a prostitute or a harlot?
Both of the words in mind in the state particularly yes, and it is good.
He goes in for one reason.
I'm going in for England.
In order to have physical, pleasurable, sexual intercourse with her and he pays for it. He does not drink the whole of him.
I'm going to sit for a hold of him, you know.
Nor a simply kiss her.
And then you keep on kissing him about
it. It involves the actual sexual act of the two primary sex organs. And Paul says this is what it is to be one flesh.
Or
Now what did God say to
that? God said so I want to be
a man will be father and mother and cleave unto his wife and become one flesh. And the father and mother of Adam was God. And God said, you will need me to have physical intercourse with this woman. And that's exactly what happened in the garden. The woman was deceived into an act which brings about the bearing of children. But Adam was not deceived into it. He knew exactly what God meant and he did it anyway. This was the act of disobedience to God sin and death. Now let us read something over here in 1 Timothy. It's the second chapter. And verses 13 to 15. You can walk in the scripture. You have noticed that the penalty lay in the bearing of children. The woman being sick and in great pain. Now watch carefully. There's nothing wrong with the baby. It's how it got here. You follow? You have to understand this and see it. This is how you can see in scripture that God does not impute sin to the bride. And a child of God does not sin. It is the way the child of God here. That was the wrong thing. The child is all right. The previous downfall is very evident. The original purpose of God was that Adam and Eve, would have populated the earth with children. She came by what might be called something of a sex act. For she was taken from Adam, and his substance, thus multiplied cells, and her spirit taken from Adam, made her to be what she was, and that somehow like a baby is made. For the baby is merely multiplied cells. The comfort of the parent and the life that comes from God. The childbirth is a chemical process. And you notice that so was Eve. The baby comes from the ground now. Not by the creative act of God. But it comes from the ground. That takes place in the woman's body. And this is where the whole thing miscarried. This is why we see in the scripture that the penalty is on childbearing. The bearing of the child, not the child. Satan using the servant. Now what's going to happen at the end of that? All the sin will fall back on Satan. And we will come forth without even a remembrance of any sin or dislike here. Of course, that will take place when Jesus wipes away the tears. Also, it is easy to see that the person could seduce Eve
after a person in Islam is seen before service.
For he looked very much like Adam, except for the size of his body. And of course, he did not have the spiritual components of Adam in
it.
He was a giant stature. But he was a smooth-skinned animal. And many people despise this doctrine. Because they think the serpent or the beast was a large, hairy type of animal. But the very word in the Hebrew for stubble means smooth, like smooth skin. And this is where you get those sensations that are aroused The serpent loves smooth skin. It's very easy to prove. Because he has now become a snake.
son will be upon his own.
And the other snake,
of the heart will be that same one,
will hear us.
Never.
Move him.
Him, they affect him.
And the beautiful.
For us.
Now listen to me. If you go to the Brookfield Zoo in Chicago,
if you go to the Brookfield Zoo in Chicago,
and you look at the boa constrictor,
or you see it for
boa constrictor.
Oh, yeah, this is the boa constrictor, there in summer, in the central summer.
You will find on the black side,
that is the scene that boa constrictor cotton,
that it says,
a picture.
The boa constrictor, is the only serpent
against the slander
with remnants of fish.
Net rester of hunger.
He wants to walk.
Furthermore,
he is the only serpent that breeds like other animals
from hunger, breeds from hunger.
It's using
pleasure.
In the mounting position.
In the mid-place position.
All other snakes further.
I will be under a stronger man in the middle.
In order to breathe.
Or under.
But not with bulky shit.
No, you can bulky shit.
Furthermore, he is the giant
servant. I'm a tenth of one.
When we open the new road in Brazil,
the road is only there after planting it. Vi får planta det på den område. Vi ska ha under skriven. Det var det han nämnde. Vi ska ha under. Men det är inte
planta.
Jag bryr på
det. Now that we open the new road to Brazil,
we are open the same day in the rest of the
day. They found a boa constrictor.
How can you go from Texas?
66. 66.
66.
66.
66.
No.
66.
66. 66 were gone. And they lost. And they lost. And they lost. And they lost. And they
lost. And they lost.
He is the giant of the
river.
This is where the giant in the earth came from. Now this serpent had no soul.
Then he comes having a soul.
But he had a place for a soul, according to God.
And how did he live for him?
Had a place for a soul.
Let us look at the difference.
And also look at the same.
Between the serpent,
Jerusalem,
and mankind.
Or who is the
difference? We go to Genesis 2 and 7.
Now go to the Bible, the same stuff that is still in the
food. And then
two.
The seven verse. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
That kind of thing is having negative of spirit, of will. If you have to leave it on the commission, the membership will be in the spirit of the
But it doesn't say that about the animal.
Now you just throw it to your own being.
And the person was an animal.
Or the second part in the people.
Even though he was upright,
and your hand out and go back.
And look almost exactly like a man.
What's only a few is from the membership.
Especially if they die.
Well, the same thing for him too, the
first. He was just a very smart beast.
Oh, boy, it's you there, you.
Now look how he was born.
Yes, in a hunt for them.
Genesis 1.
They're talking to him.
And 24, 25.
Yeah, 2 or 3 then, or 2 or 10.
And the Lord God said that he is in
for. But he saw, June, friend, bring you, and here he be, Esther, here, not, three, or three, or not, two, three, Esther,
He, God did not breathe into him the breath of life. So the serpent did not have a living soul. He was sensate and could figure things out.
He was sensate and could figure things out.
But he did not have a soul. But Adam, he did. So we find very strong evidence in the Word
that the king that he sees his hand over
was a perfect thing from.
Both perfection spirit from God.
It was animal life injected into the human life.
Thereby, do you believe it? Some years now it's coming near men to
be. Because the blood was so cold.
But he blew the blood from heaven.
And this mixed thing,
again, his blood did this day,
traveled down even to this day.
Or, blood would say, neither was incidental.
And certain things devil feet.
Or, something said to the devil.
That it came over on the ox through the flood of heaven.
And it comes over when the ox brings their people.
Because it says in Genesis 6-9,
where they saw the prophecy so in Genesis
6-9, that Noah was a just man perfect in his generation.
I knew I was in the good common life.
And I found out by reading in the Hebrew, especially after Dr. Bollinger,
after Dr. Bollinger,
that Noah was the only man left.
I knew I was an English man, good doctor.
He was actually a perfect human being.
From my living, breathing, sleep, coming on.
He was the only one left without an admixture in
him. I never knew to say somebody, good doctor, in his language, he said.
So he was married to a woman who had an admixture in her.
So how did he get the living thing from husband's language, he
said? And this is how the son brought the feet over him.
Oh, yeah, it's only this after sentiment, after children, of course.
Because remember, the woman has the 12 chromosomes, and rather 23 genes and common to the
chromosomes.
Yes, the woman has 23 chromosomes,
and the spirit made from a woman.
And the man likewise,
yeah, and my name is Jack.
And what is the way of it? The number of genes? The 1,260, yes, the word not in the man of woman. And the problem is that you do that
right. That is the problem that offense being
given. They both contribute to the child.
Do we give salvation for each of them?
And seeing that this lies in the flesh,
and we see that that's what we can make, I think that's it.
You will see how we became non-law.
There's no cable, there's no situation in human.
So the feet came down through the eye.
The sword appeared in the tongue and then again in.
Now, the Revelator John,
opened by Johannes,
told us that these two sides were here. And Jesus himself spoke of them in the
age of the Father, and
in John,
in Johannes, of the
church. In verse 37, Jesus said, I know your Abraham peace.
Yes, you see it. Yeah, you see it all the time.
But you think you're telling
me? But you didn't say it to me.
Because my word has no place in me.
But you didn't see what I'm saying to you.
You realize what he was saying.
But you don't know what I'm saying.
He was telling these people,
what was talking to you today?
That physically something was wrong.
I think it's wrong with God.
And spiritually,
or only.
There was just no place for this word. They were different from other people. That is Jesus' disciples. And those around
them.
Because they had a place in the world. Now you can see there's a difference there. How many times have you got it? Only two times. And so you thought that you're certainly.
No, you're not the only one
that's up. Or you think it's of the enemy. Now he said, I speak that which I have seen with my Father.
Yes, here is how you hear from your lips from his heart.
And you do that which you have seen with your Father.
I give you hear from your heart and get sick of your heart.
That is only two fathers.
Yeah, that is two fathers.
You are God and the
devil. Yes, yes.
So he says, you are the devil's children.
And so how he says, you are the devil's father.
Now these Jews are very smart.
These Jews are not here to bring you to
Jesus. They knew exactly what Jesus was doing. And is it Abraham and our father?
But it's father and our father.
See, they know that they can say that their seed to Abraham,
that we should bring the prayer to the church and God to the other.
They can go right back to Adam.
That's what we do, and it's the God to the other.
And Adam was the son of God.
All of them were the son.
And they say, see, we are the sons of the good seed. We are not those baddies.
We are the wounded.
Now Jesus said, if you are Abraham's children, you do the works of Abraham.
If you are Abraham's son, you are Abraham's enemy.
But you seek to kill me. He said, you do the works of your father.
You do the works of your father.
Now listen to what they said. We do not go on a fornication.
We are the sisters.
We have one father, who is God.
We have one father, who is God.
Now how are you going to have God as your father if Adam is not your father? So they said, we belong to Adam and we belong to God. And we don't come to fornication.
Now that's
fornication. Premarital sex. Back to the beginning. They knew about the reason about it.
He did tell me about it.
Do you realize that the teaching of the Jews is?
Yes, what's the way about them and getting it?
In the Talmud.
He said it.
In the book of the Genesis. In the book of the Genesis. In the Talmud.
How do you find it?
The Talmud is a 50-inch, about 100-inch. The Talmud is a 50-inch. The Talmud is a federal book, and in the book is a book called the Genesis. The three copulated with the serpent
of Eva, which is coming in,
and boy, his son came. The Jews absolutely understood
the devil's
serpent and how it got
here.
And
what
was it Jesus also said? You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will be.
Who was a murderer
from the beginning, and of both not in
truth,
and because there's no truth in
it.
When you speak of the Lord,
your hand following them,
despicably gone,
still following up the
good. For he is a lion,
a honey and a goodness,
and a father
of heart, living of heart.
Now I'm going to give anybody $1,000 who can show me where the devil is. You make $1,000 for that, if you can show me. You can't do it. Now who killed the liar?
Then Christ the Lord.
Then. And who told the first lie?
And then there was some later.
Sir.
No.
Now who's the father?
Then Mr. Father.
The servant.
No.
What lie?
Mr. The
pain.
Or Mr. Jesus. Mr. Thomas.
They understood what Jesus was saying.
He didn't prove no failure to tell.
They understood that certain seed doctrine perfectly.
He was fully aware that this said John Gibbons.
But they denied they were followers.
Then he mystical power.
In the book of Romans, the ninth chapter,
in Romans 3 and chapter 6,
Paul declares we are one lot.
He has heard it. We have in profoundly in.
Yeah. And the purpose of God
in his 62,
which is to bring many sons into glory,
or bring it mounted sons into heaven,
has to be by election.
Then we have to be
registered.
Truth or
under predestination,
being
which takes us to glory,
from the will of heaven.
Because we are wrong
enough, but we are able to be
God facing the right one. In the human race, And then he saw his own children under his glory. And in the fold of the children of God is that word seed.
Which
was formed
on
and in the mind of Christ. And it is like the egg of the womb.
It has the
chromosomes and the genes.
But it lies there and
cannot be broken into
the egg.
But when the
Son
of God, the Spirit of God, with its chromosomes and genes,
then
can the purpose of God be fulfilled?
Because the whole plan was thrown out upon you.
Well, the
and then, many people would wonder why God would do this. The prophet explained to use the very words of Arabian. Arabian was the second church messenger. And remember, he was a disciple of Paul's
time. And this disciple of Paul's time.
And Paul's heart was taught by John the Revelator.
And Holy Cross was taught under Johannes opened by them.
And John was taught by Jesus and the Holy Ghost.
And the Johannes was opened by Jesus and the Holy Ghost.
He was an authenticated bringer of the Word of God.
And by Jesus Christ, the rich got to the dream of the Holy
Spirit. So Arameans must have learned this from John.
So Arameans know how to accept the cross of Johannes.
By way of Paul's heart.
He was Holy.
And he said,
God
being a Savior,
it
was necessary that he possess the name of sinners. In order to give himself a reason and purpose of being.
A reason and purpose of being.
Yeah, a guarantee of grief.
You got the ground put a little like this. God had to do it this way.
He did not do it this way.
In order to reveal all his attributes. So there has to be a non-election and an election. There has to be vessels of wrath as well as vessels of mercy.
The mercy is the part of the greater of part of mercy.
And this is how God did it. And now we have learned the purpose of God.
I know how you take so good answer.
And we have learned his gospel.
And we are yet again.
And we can rejoice in the left of the
kingdom.
Because this was the part of the life of the end time. So our trust reminds us in the writings to some further degree. And you understand what Brother Brown taught in the church. And may the Lord
make you
better.
But
shall we rise to this tomorrow morning we should be
singing.
We'll be asking. I have a few questions in. You're invited to sing more in. You may write them in more region or whatever language. And someone will tell me what they say. If I know your answer, I'll and if I don't, I just get back.
Oh,
you're very serious.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.